Rosh Hashanah, Perek Beis, Mishnah Tes, 2-9, the last of the Perek. And really, we're picking up where we left off in the previous Mishnah, which was in a very tense moment, where Rabbi Yehoshua, the Gadol HaDor, and the Av Bezdin of Sanhedrin, had said that it was impossible that yesterday should have been Rosh Chodesh, if tonight we still can't see the new moon, and therefore Rabbi Gamliel should overturn things and make today be Rosh Chodesh, meaning Rosh Hashanah, and not yesterday. Rabbi Gamliel, being the Nasi, for his part, wasn't backing down, and he insisted that yesterday was Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh, and today is already the second day of the new year. Now, that would lead potentially to a very big schism in Klal Yisrael, because you have a split between the Nasi and the Av Beis Din, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yehoshua, and the consequences are that in 8 or 9 days from now, we're going to have Yom Kippur. Is it 8 or 9 days? And obviously the stakes are high. People take Yom Kippur very seriously. When are they going to fast? One day, the second day, both days? And if you have a split in Klal Yisrael like that, two different Yom Kippurs, it's like there's going to be two different sects, two different, there's an issue of losses go to do. You can't do that. You can't have different factions doing different things in Klal Yisrael. Everyone's going to have uniformity. Now, in the time of the Second Temple, there did become two major groups, the legitimate groups, the schools of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, aside from all sorts of illegitimate groups, like the Tzdukim and the Baisusim and the Essenes, but there were such a thing. There was such a thing as, when Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai disagree on something as Tahor or Tame or Mutter or Asar, there was almost like, the Gemara says it, it's almost as if there were two different Torahs in Klal Yisrael, which of course is a very precarious situation. Rabbi Gamliel took the position that after the Chorban, the Jews no longer had the luxury of allowing for Kishtei Toros if there were two Toros in Klal Yisrael. We already were, had been decimated by the Romans. Times were very difficult. They were already working out of Yavne instead of Yerushalayim. And Klal Yisrael was really downtrodden and depressed. And he didn't see it as a viable option to, in that state of Gullus, to have like Klal Yisrael going their separate ways into different schisms. So that was a recipe for social disaster. And therefore, he was insistent. And this is not going to be the only time we see in the Gemara that he was insistent that it has to be his way and there could be no toleration of variance. Not because he was, doing it for his own interests, but because we felt just absolutely it was essential for Klal Yisrael to have a uniform halachic approach and uniform practice. And therefore, he put his foot down and said, nothing doing Rabbi Yehoshua, we're not allowing Rabbi Yehoshua to disagree with me publicly regarding when Yom Kippur falls out, lest we have the schism in Klal Yisrael. And therefore the Mishnah says, Shalach lo Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel sent a message to Rabbi Yehoshua. Gozurani alecha shetavo etzli b'maklecha uv'mosecha b'yom ha-kippurim shechal lios b'cheshbonach. I decree upon you formally that you must arrive in my court before me with your stick in hand and your money belt around your waist, on the Yom Kippur that according to your cheshbon, meaning what I call the 11th of Tishrei. So if Rabbi Yehoshua would show up with a walking stick, which you can't carry with through the Shusar Rabbim on Yom Kippur, it's like Shabbos, and money in hand, whatever it is, of course, that would indicate to everybody that he had backed down and was agreeing that Yom Kippur wasn't today, it was the previous day, like Rabbi Gamliel said, and that would ensure uniformity amongst Klal Yisrael. Now, this, of course, was very distressing to Rabbi Yehoshua, who held that that would be Yom Kippur, and he would be doing Nisr Dorais of Chil Yom Kippur. So, Halach u'matzo Rabbi Akiva Meitzar. Rabbi Akiva went to visit him, he wanted to assuage his pain, and Rabbi Akiva found him Meitzar, really, he was suffering terribly, in this internal conflict of what do? Do I do what Rabbi Gamliel said, and I understand why he's saying that, in terms of what's good for the uniformity and, larger well-being of the community, but it's terrible for me because I hold it's Yom Kippur and I can't do that on Yom Kippur. So he was really suffering. He wished he would have done anything, literally, as the Gemara says, he would have endured, tremendous suffering elsewhere rather than have to endure this terrible predicament that he found himself in. Amar lo, and Rabbi Akiva said to him, Yeshli lilmod shakol ma sha'asa Rabbi Gamliel asui. Rabbi Akiva, who was the Talmud of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Akiva had two main Rebbes, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. This is Rabbi Yeshua's Rebbe. So Rabbi Akiva said, I have a limud from the Pasuk that I can learn out that shows that what Rabbi Gamliel did is legitimate, it's binding, and you have no reason to fear. You should observe that as Yom Kippur, and that's fine. You have no reason to not be comfortable. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Ela Moadei Hashem Mikra'e Kodesh Asher Tikru Osam. Now, it actually says it three times. It says Tikru Osam, and in those Pesukim, and Rabbi Akiva understood that the repeated superfluous phrase there says that you get to declare it, and it doesn't matter three times whether you did it. The halacha is, as the Mishnah says, Bein Bizmanan, Bein Shlo Bizmanan, Ein Li Moadot Ela Elu. Rabbi Akiva says that Hashem understands, says that whether you decree it in its, what let's call it as scientific reality when the new moon was visible or not, it doesn't matter. The only Rosh Chodesh that I recognize as Hashem is the Rosh Chodesh that the Bezin Shalmata decrees. That's all that matters. That's what's Koveya, that's what determines it. And Rabbi Akiva says the drush is the Osam tell you Atem three times, whether your mistake was a shogeg, it was an accident, or whether your mistake was amazed, it was intentional, you actually purposefully declared the wrong day Rosh Chodesh for whatever reasons you did, or whether you've been misled by Edom. In all those cases, it doesn't matter. If the Bezin declares it Rosh Chodesh, it's Rosh Chodesh, and that's how Rosh Chodesh works. It's a halachic reality, not an astronomical reality. Bolo Eitzel Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus. Now, the proper pronouns here to understand are Rabbi Yoshua. Now, went to visit Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus. Now, Rabbi Dosa had started this, if you recall from the previous Mishnah, but it seems from not here in the Mishnah that Rabbi Dosa had sort of backed down and sort of, let's call it now, he'd aligned himself with Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Gamliel, that we were going to go with Rabbi Gamliel, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and not the Rabbi Yoshua one. So he backed down from his position. Now, therefore, Rabbi Dosa also tells Rabbi Yoshua that he should back down. Amar lo, Rabbi Dosa said to Rabbi Yoshua, Im bon anu ladun achar beis dino shel Rabbi Gamliel. If we would now come to query the legitimacy of Rabbi Gamliel's Bezdin, declaring yesterday as whatever day it was earlier in the week, that first day as Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh, Tzrichen anu ladun achar kol Bezdin u'Bezdin sha'amad miyimos Moshe varachshav. We would need to query every ruling of every Bezdin that ever happened. If the Bezdin stuff isn't binding, then maybe the calendar's all wrong and maybe who knows what. We have to query everybody. But we don't do that. Why? Shneamar, the Pasuk says, V'yal Moshe v'Aaron Nadav v'Aviyu. Moshe and Aaron and Nadav and Aviyu, his sons, all went up. And v'shivim mizikne Yisrael. And also 70 more elders. And now Rabbi Dosa gives his drasha. V'lamano nisparshu shmosen shel zakenim. Why did the Torah not say who these 70 were? That is nameless elders. El lamed, it's because it's coming to teach you. Shekol shlosha shlosha sh'amdu bezdin al Yisrael. Whenever you have a legitimate bezdin, harehu kaveis dino shel Moshe. They're legitimate. The Torah has confirmed authority upon them, and that's binding. And they're just, what they say is just as binding as a bezdin with Moshe Rabbeinu himself. So, that being the case, Rabban Gamliel, which is legitimate bezdin, of course, declaring that, I'll call it 30th day to be Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Hashanah, the first of Tishrei, that's binding. That's it. There's no going down. And now Rabbi Yeshua has these two points. Rabbi Dosa back down, explaining that every Bezin is legitimate. If they're legitimate Bezin, their decrees are legitimate. And Rabbi Kiva's Drasha, which says that when the Bezin declares Rosh Chodesh, is Rosh Chodesh, regardless if there's some astronomical mistake. And therefore, Natal Maklo Ma'osa Biado, Rabbi Yeshua took his walking stick and his money in his hand. V'halach liyavne. V'halach liyavne, he went to Yavna, Eitzel Rabban Gamliel, to see Rabban Gamliel. B'yom shechal yom ha-kippurim liyos b'cheshbono. On the day that Yom Kippur fell out according to his calculations, meaning what we'll call the 11th of Tishrei according to Rabban Gamliel. When he showed up, Amad Rabban Gamliel, Rabban Gamliel stood up for him, certainly a sign of deference. V'nashko al-rosho, and he kissed him on his head. which is maybe not a sign of deference, but a sign of showing, you know, he's like a father figure to him, if you will. And Amar lo, and Rabban Gamliel said to Rabbi Yeshua, Bo b'shalom Rebbe v'talmidi, come in peace, my master and my student. Master, Rebbe, b'chachma, in terms of wisdom, because of course Rabbi Yeshua was the God of Lador, and Rabban Gamliel was not disputing that. Rabban Gamliel said, you are absolutely the greater Talmud Chacham, and I defer to you. V'talmidi, but you've taken the position of being my subordinate, like my student, shekibalta es devarai, that you accepted my words, meaning you accepted my psak, that we are doing what we're doing, calling that day Rosh Hashanah and not backing down. And Rabbi Yeshua here, you know, stands for he did the right thing, and, you know, I'll call it happily ever after. However, if you learn the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Chav Ches, you will see not happily ever after. It seems that the students present, although this story is over, but they saw this episode as a terrible affront to the covenant of Rabbi Yeshua, and that Rabbi Gamliel really was overstepping his bounds and out of line, although he had the authority to do what he did, and they ended up, you know, following this method. They certainly essentially, I'll call it, held it against him as something that was an inappropriate way to give proper covenant to Rabbi Yeshua, the God of Lador. And later on, as clear in Gemara Brachos, they took umbrage, and later on actually took action when it happened yet again, really for the third time. And with that, we finish the second parak, and we have one more mishnah to go in the next parak about Kiddush HaChodesh before we move on to the Lachos of Shofar.